I want to do a little Bible study before I preach tonight. I just want to make some comments on that one verse that we read, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, before I get to my message tonight. The verse says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren." Brethren. So the first thing I want you to notice is that this verse was written to brethren. It was written to Christians. And then it says, "Give diligence." And that word diligence means persistent application, attentive care, heedfulness. It's a verb that describes something that we need to do. We need to give diligence. Now, the verse is going to tell us what we need to give diligence to, but that, again, that word diligence means I need to pay attention to it. I need to just constantly pay attention to this thing that the verse is going to tell me that I need to pay attention to. And then it says, and here's what it says to pay attention to make your calling an election. To make your calling an election, and the next word is sure, but let me talk a little bit about the word election. The Bible speaks of those that are saved as God's elect. And so if you're saved tonight, you fall in this group of people who God says are my elect. And the word elect means chosen. The Bible teaches us that we were chosen long ago. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And so before God said on day one, "Let there be light," he chose us. Before he made the firmament that divided the waters above from the waters below, he chose us. Before he made the dry land to appear and then created all the flowers and the trees and the vegetables on day three, he chose us. Before he made the sun, moon, and stars on day four, he chose us. Before he made created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea on day five, he chose us. And before he made all the animals that roam on the land, before he made man on day five, before any of that happened, before the foundations of the world was laid, he chose us. And I want you to know that when he chose us, he wasn't doing it blindly. The Bible teaches us that he knew all about us. He knew everything that was going to happen in our life before the foundation of the world. He knew everything that was going to happen in our life. He knew the sins we were going to commit. He knew the problems we were going to have. He knew the weaknesses that we would have in our life. Nothing that's happened in our life is a surprise to God. Yet he chose us. And so, again, that word election means that God has chosen us beforehand. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33, the Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" In God's sight, there is no charge against those that he's elected. There is no charge against anybody that's been saved. As I mentioned this morning, if you could go to heaven and you could look at my record in heaven, you would find not one sin. What you would find on my record is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I stand before God tonight, and I stood before God ever since I've been saved, justified in his sight, just as if I'd never sinned. And so when Romans says there is no charge against God's elect, again, he's talking about saved people, and if you're saved tonight, there is no charge that anybody can bring against you because the blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." Now, I want you to understand tonight, this election that the Bible is talking about has nothing to do with unsaved people. Nothing to do with them. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, simply means that God knew before the foundation of the world that you and I, And all of us that are Christians tonight would one day realize we were sinners. Would one day realize that there's a penalty for sin. Would one day understand that Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, paid the price for every one of our sins. And one day we understood the blessed old gospel story that if we asked Jesus to save us, he would save us. And again, in the foreknowledge of God, God knew that one day we would exercise the faith, the measure of faith he has dealt to every man, and that we would pray and ask Jesus to save us. Now, I know some people, when they start talking about election, here's what they say. Well, yeah. God has elected some people to be saved, and God has elected some people to be damned. That is not true. There's nothing in the Bible that gives any indication. There's nothing in the Bible that even hints at it. Everything I read in the Bible tells me that God wants everybody to be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so I say again, election has absolutely nothing to do with the unsaved. It has to do with brethren, like this verse is addressed to. It has to do with the family of God. And most Bible doctrine and most Bible truths, not all of them, but most Bible truths is for us as God's children. They're for us as members of the family of God. And so it says, "Wherefore rather, brethren," again, to Christians, "give diligence," that constant attention, that heedfulness, that constant watching, "to make your calling and election sure." Sure. If there's anything people ought to be sure about, it's their soul. Amen? Are you saved or not? That verse says, give diligence. Make sure you are saved. That you know that you are saved. Now listen to me. If you're saved tonight, it's already sure in the mind of God. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." There's no doubt in the mind of God who belongs to him and who doesn't. What this verse is saying to us as Christians is that we need to make it sure in our own minds. We need to know that we are saved. And we need to give diligence to it. Constant attention to make our calling and election sure. Again, not sure in the mind of God, because it is sure in the mind of God, but make it sure in our mind. And here's the promise of this verse. "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." If ye do these things, if you give diligence to your calling and election and are sure, you'll never fall. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing never to fall? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing never to mess up as a Christian? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as a Christian to never make a bad decision? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as a Christian to never let God down? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as a Christian to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? And so tonight, that's my Bible study. Now let me get to my message. Tonight, I want to review some things that'll help us do that. How do we make our calling and election sure? Again, already sure in the mind of God, but how do we make it sure in our minds? And so tonight I give you 5 suggestions. And so again, you can keep track of where I am in my message. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I'm done. But then we're going to baptize again tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen for that. So number one, how do we make our calling and election sure? By public confession of our faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You ask people today, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know that you are right with the Lord? And the answer may be yes, but many, many times the answer doesn't come back a for sure yes. The answer doesn't come back a confident yes. Some folks are like those in John chapter 12, verse 42, where the Bible says, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Many people believe in Jesus, but they don't confess him wholeheartedly. They don't confess him 100%. They're not out and out Christians and let anybody and everybody know about it because they're afraid of what it might cost them. It might embarrass them. It might put them in situations where somebody might ridicule them a little bit. But the Bible says that we need to publicly confess that we belong to Jesus Christ, and it's a way to make our salvation sure. Again, it's not going to add anything to our salvation. If you're saved, it's because of what Jesus did, and nothing that we can add to it will add anything to it. But it'll make it sure in our mind. It'll help us know, yes, I am saved. I've been elected by God. I'm on my way to heaven. So how do we do it? We make a public confession. In the book of Romans chapter 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When our heart believes unto righteousness, it should open our mouths. We need to say like Paul did in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, that's what baptism is. That's what we witnessed this morning. That's what we're going to witness again tonight. People identifying with Christ, making a public confession. I've been saved. I asked Jesus to save me, and he did. And from that first step of obedience, the rest of our Christian existence, we ought to look for opportunities and take advantage of opportunities to publicly confess that we belong to Jesus Christ. I always love it when the Lord gives me illustrations right before my message. Brother Terrell came in tonight and he said, well, I wasn't here this morning because I was working, finished up the pipeline. And he said, everybody else got done and they said, come on, we're going to the bar. Where are you going? He says, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. That's what I'm talking about. Look for opportunities to tell the world, I belong to Jesus Christ. I identify with him. I'm part of the family. And if we'll do that, if we'll take advantage of every opportunity to let anybody and everybody know that we're part of the family, it'll make sure in our mind our calling and election. So how do we make our calling and election sure? By public confession. Number two, we make our calling and election sure by absolute trust in the Word of God. The reason I can be sure of my election is that the Bible tells me I can. The Bible tells me I can. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I mean, you got saved through, via, however you want to say it, the word of God. You wouldn't have got saved without the book. You wouldn't have got saved without the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's the word of God that gives us surety that we are saved. It's the word of God that makes our election sure. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And over and over and over again, in the book of 1 John, it says, we can know. We can be sure. We can be confident. Now listen, don't trust your emotions, because I'll tell you, there's sometimes I don't feel like I'm saved. You may not believe this, but sometimes I'm an emotional person. Sometimes I cry. But I'm not going to trust my emotions, and I'm not going to trust my tears for my salvation. I'm going to trust that book. Because my emotions can get kittywampus, and they can get all out of whack. But this book lives forever. It has been in existence before eternity, and it will exist forever and ever. And this book tells me how to get saved, and this book tells me how to know for sure that I am saved. In John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How we make our calling and election sure? We publicly confess Christ every chance we get. How do we make it sure? We put our absolute trust in this book. How do we make it sure? Number three, we recognize the Holy Spirit in our life. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When we got saved, the moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into our body. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, we're told that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible tells us that he dwells in us. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And so I recognize that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within my body, within my being. I acknowledge him. And he helps me make my election sure. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're not sure because you're not saved. If you don't have the Spirit, that means you've never truly accepted Christ as your Savior. But if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your election is sure, that you're part of the family of God, and that you're saved. So, again, how do I make my calling and election sure? I publicly confess every chance I get. I put absolute trust in the Word of God. I recognize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Number four, I tell other people about Jesus. That's how you make it sure. You witness to other people. You tell them about Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, we find the phrase, after his kind, several times. After his kind. It's God's will that everything bring forth after his kind. God wants us as Christians to produce other Christians. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In John 15, 16, Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So tonight, if you have a burden for the lost, if you weep when you think about them spending eternity in hell, If you go out and share the gospel and tell people that they're sinners, and there's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid the penalty on Calvary, and if you ask him, he'll save you, you can know that your election is sure. How do we make it sure? We publicly confess. We put our absolute trust in the Word of God. We recognize the Holy Spirit in our life. We tell others about Jesus. And then number five, we grow in grace. We grow in grace. People, listen to this. People who do not grow soon doubt. People who do not grow soon doubt. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, Peter could speak with authority on what it is to grow and what it is to not grow. There was a time in Peter's life when he didn't grow. I mean, there was that time when he stood by the fire and said, "I don't know him." No, you're mistaken. It wasn't me you saw in the garden. I wasn't with him. I don't know him at all. He wasn't growing when he stood in that garden and cut the servant's ear off. He wasn't growing when he didn't understand that the kingdom of Christ was not the kingdom of this world. But something happened to Peter. Something happened to Peter. When Jesus met him early that morning on the beach, fished all night, caught nothing, Jesus stood on the shore and said, "Have you any meat? Have you caught any fish?" And the disciples, I don't think they were all there, but most of them were there, said, "No, I hadn't caught any fish. Fished all night, caught nothing." Jesus said, "Well, throw your net on the other side." And the Bible says they caught 153 fish, if I remember the number right. And John said to Peter, "Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." They came to shore. Jesus fixed them breakfast. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "You know I love you, Lord." And Jesus said, "Well, if you love me, feed my sheep." He asked him the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you. Well, feed my sheep." Lord asked him the third time. I don't think it was a coincidence. Peter had denied him three times, and I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And I think from that encounter on the beach that early morning that Peter began to grow. He began to grow. Grow in the knowledge of our Father, of our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're growing in your knowledge of him, you can make your election sure. 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 And again, the promise of that verse, "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Now listen, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you can't make it sure because it's not sure. You need to come to him. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty when he died on Calvary. If you'll ask him tonight, he'll save you. Say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what kind of sin I have in my life. You don't know what kind of person I am." Doesn't matter. You're right. I don't know what's in your life, but I know the kind of Savior we have. And I know he can save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. So if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you come. Just a moment, we're going to stand, sing an invitation song. You come. I'll get somebody to take their Bible and show you from the Bible how you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. I know most of us here tonight are Christians. The large majority are here tonight are Christians. I know that. But this verse was written to Christians. Brethren, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for the promises that it contains. Thank you for being the kind of God that keeps every promise. And I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that you would speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit. You would help them understand that they need Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And I pray tonight they'd cast off everything that stood in the way. And, Father, they would come to Christ. Ask him to save them. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to examine our lives. Help us to make our election sure. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.